Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Through this pandemic, God has just been teaching me and revealing different things to me and stretching me in different ways. And one of the things, as he's been doing that, and I've really been praying and relying on him, God, what do you want me to preach? God, how do you want me to pastor our church? How do you want our staff to minister to our people? Because there is no book out there about how to pastor and preach in a pandemic, okay? My ministerial training did not include a course on, you know, pandemic pastoring 101, all right? That was not part of the curriculum. And so I've really tried to be guided by the Holy Spirit, wanted to be sensitive even more than what I normally do, because God, I want to make sure that as I'm communicating to you, as you've been watching online, I've wanted to really give you the message that was on God's heart to help you during this time. And through the past 8 weeks, and really I have been sensing this for over a year, but the past 8 weeks, I really feel that God has brought one topic just closer to the surface, and I just feel him saying, Craig, I need you to preach on this. I need you to teach on this. I need you to prepare my people for this. For the past few weeks, we have had just a slight glimpse of what it's like to not be able to gather together physically as a body and worship. For the past few weeks, we have experienced just a sliver of what the believers in China, the believers in Islamic-dominated nations, what the church in the former Soviet Union, the USSR, Communist Russia, used to experience when they could not gather publicly. And it just hasn't been for 8 weeks. For some, it's been 80 years. For some, it's been 800 years or more. The church has not had the freedom to meet and to worship. And friends, we have had this level of disappointment. Man, we can't come to church. But our level of disappointment doesn't come anywhere near to the discomfort, the destruction, the torture, the fear, the cloud, and even death that the persecuted church lives under. We have no idea what it's like to experience persecution. I mean, I was persecuted in high school because I went to the church in town and, you know, we spoke in tongues and we did prophecy and we had a message in prophecy about today about God being our good shepherd. And if you're wondering what that is, that's part of the gifts of the Spirit. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14. God wants to speak a message to us. And I remember one summer we had a tent revival out in the back of our parking lot at the church. And for 1 week, on the corner of 10th and Hemlock became the main street of my little hometown of Beresford, South Dakota. Everybody was driving by and they were parking out. And my boss, he had some friends that lived next door that had these big pine tree grove. And they sat behind there, and they were drinking, and they were listening to the tent revival. And I remember getting called, you know, Holy Roller and Bible Thumper and, you know, and a Jesus Freak. And you know what? That's about the extent of the persecution I've endured for Christ. That's the extent that most of us have. Maybe words, maybe you've been discriminated against a little bit, but we have no idea what the persecuted church goes through. And I felt God saying to me, especially these past 8 weeks, he says, Craig, the first service back, people are going to remember this because it's special. The chairs are different. The cameras are different. They're going to remember that we are debt-free. The mortgage has been paid off. They're going to remember these things. But I want you to share a message because, friends, this may be the most important message regarding your future. I felt God say, I want you to share a message about persecution. Because the Church of America is not ready for persecution. I'm not saying persecution is coming. I'm just saying we need to be ready for it. Friends, we're just one election away from Christianity being outlawed. There are some people who love to outlaw Christianity, take away our religious freedoms. If that day comes, what will you do? Will you continue to follow Christ if you're going to lose your job? Will you continue to follow Christ if they say, you know what, you believe in Christianity? It's a deceptive, weird philosophy. It's brainwashing your kids. We need to take your kids away from you unless you renounce Christ. What if you face imprisonment? What if you face torture? Will you stand in the midst of persecution? If you're taking notes, if you're following along in YouVersion, and we're not printing the notes on paper, but you can follow along on YouVersion, go to the Events tab, and you'll have all the notes right there. But here's a question that every Christ follower must answer. Will you stand and serve God in the face of persecution? Will you stand and serve God in the face of persecution? This morning, I want to share a message out of Daniel chapter 3. It's called Even If. You'll see why it's called that. I want you to say, even if. Say it again, even if. That's a key phrase that needs to become a part of your vocabulary. Even if. You'll see why. But we're going to take a look at three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for the VeggieTales generation, Rakshak and Benny. I call them the three amigos, okay? I think they were the original three amigos, all right? Rakshak and Benny. We're going to take a look at them, Daniel chapter 3 this morning, if you want to follow along. I want to share with you four facts that we need to prepare ourselves for persecution, all right? Four facts, what you need to know about persecution. Fact number one, persecution is promised. Persecution is promised, not a walk in the park. We are not promised as Christians a walk in the park that you come to Jesus and everything is easy, everything's going to be fine, you will not experience any problems. Persecution is promised. We see this in the book of Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon. He invaded the nation of Israel, and when he did, he took several hundred young men who were nobles, that were royalty, and he shipped them off to Babylon, captured them, took them out of their homeland. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among those who were taken, and they find themselves there. They were teenagers when this happened, and after some time, Nebuchadnezzar built this 90-foot-tall statue of himself. And he declared he wanted everyone, when the band played, when the music sounded, everyone in the nation was to bow before this 90-foot image of himself and worship this image. He wanted all of the government leaders at every level, all the soldiers, all the people. And he said in Daniel 3, verse 6, that whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. You see, sometimes we think, well, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to be protected from all harm. Nothing is going to hurt me. And yes, no weapon formed against us may prosper. We sang about this morning. But the thing that we don't realize is that Christianity is not a promise of a walk in the park. Being a follower of Jesus means that we may experience persecution. Jesus guaranteed it. He said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Now, doesn't that sound like a great guarantee? You will have tribulation. You will have problems. You will have issues. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When we're going through the midst of the tribulation, realize that Jesus is overcoming, so we can take courage and be at heart because eventually we overcome with him. Jesus was teaching the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 11 he said, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you." Now I might think that would say, "Blessed are you when you get a new house. Blessed are you when you get a new car, when you get a promotion, when you hit a hole in one or you catch that, you know, that state champion record bass or trout or whatever you're trying to catch. But no, he says, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Friends, if believers were never going to be persecuted, if believers were never going to suffer for their faith, then Jesus never would have said, you are blessed when you do suffer. You are blessed when you do. You should rejoice when it happens. If persecution was not part of the package, Jesus would have never talked about it. But Jesus wanted us prepared. He wanted us to know you may suffer as a believer. Someday our government could become like communist Russia. It could become like communist China. It could become like an Islamic-dominated nation where believers are not free to gather and to worship and to hear the Word of God anymore. Christian radio is taken off the air. All the Christian sites are taken offline. Your Bibles might try to be confiscated. You might have to find a place to hide your Bible. You say, man, Craig, you're being such a downer on this first day back. I wanted to come to church. I wanted to be lifted up. I wanted to be made happy and feel good. You know what? I could care less about your happiness. Because as your pastor, the thing I'm most concerned about is your eternal soul. Are we as a nation ready if persecution comes? Are we ready? My prayer is that this morning we would begin to think about this and we would come to the place where we would say, God, I will stand no matter what, even if you don't deliver me. I will stand in the midst of persecution. Because persecution is a promise, not a walk in the park. Let's go to fact number two this morning, okay? Fact number two, by the way, it does get better. We end on a happy note, all right? So hang with me. I think you're going to be really excited as you see what God can do in the midst of persecution. So fact number two this morning is that God can deliver from impossible situations. Okay, that was a good place for an amen, all right? God can deliver. Let's try this, okay? I want you to practice. God can deliver from impossible situations. Very good. Yes, he can do it. When Nebuchadnezzar learns that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not bow, he is enraged. Now, he said before, I'm going to throw you immediately in the fiery furnace, but that's not what he does. He gives them another chance. Maybe because God had used them in a previous chapter to work a great miracle and he exalted them and he likes these guys, he knows what he's done for them in the past, but for whatever reason he gives them a second chance. Here's something I want you to catch from this. Friends, there will be many times we're hit with this temptation, this persecution, to bow or to stand for Christ. What are we going to do? And what we're going to do is we'll say, I'm going to stand. But it is very likely that the enemy will come back around and give you a second opportunity in that same circumstance to bow or to stand, and you have to make that choice. We need a resolve that will continually stand for Christ. It's not just one and done. We have to make a repeated commitment over and over to stand for him. We're going to pick the story up in verse 16 of Daniel 3. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believed that God could do all things. They believed that all things were possible. Nothing was impossible. God could save them out of the fire, even though in the natural, that was impossible. How do you survive being thrown into a fire? It doesn't make any sense. But that's the kind of faith they had, and that's the kind of faith you and I need. And in verse 18, this is where we get the title for the message this morning. Verse 18 shows their love and their commitment to God. They said, but even if he does not, say even if, God can deliver us from the fiery furnace, but even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve our gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if God does not deliver us, we are going to stand and serve Him. We will not bend. We will not bow. We will stand and serve even if the worst happens to us. Friends, that's the kind of faith you and I need this morning. How do we develop an even-if faith? How do we develop that? There's two things we need to remember. I want you to write these down, okay? This is important. This is how you stand when you're facing the fiery furnace, how you stand in the face of persecution. Remember, number one, that the fire of hell is hotter than the fire of the furnace. Remember that the fire of hell is hotter than the fire of the furnace. There is no comparison to the heat of being thrown into a fiery furnace. No comparison between that and spending eternity in the lake of fire being separated from God. And sometimes it might think, well, what they're going to do to me here? They're going to take away all my wealth. They're going to take away my family. I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to lose my job. They're going to torture me. They're going to starve me. I'm going to, you know, for me, I could lose a little bit here, you know, so that might be a good thing. But here's the thing. Sometimes we look at so much at this temporary life, and we don't think about the consequences, the long game. Friends, there's nothing they can do to you that is greater than spending eternity away from Christ. Jesus said, if you deny me before men on earth, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. You won't go to heaven. You will spend eternity in hell if you reject Christ, if you renounce Christ. The fire of the furnace does not compare to the fire of hell. Remember that. Friends, any pain, any reprieve from pain, any reprieve from anything you could lose on earth doesn't compare to what you lose if you lose your soul. Jesus said, it profits you nothing. If you gain the entire world, all the wealth of the world, all the influence, all the power, but you lose your soul. We cannot forget that our soul is the most important thing. The fire of the furnace is not as hot as the fire of hell. The second thing to remember is that the comfort of earth does not compare to the crown of heaven. The comfort of earth, any comforts, any pleasure, any award, any abundance, anything you can give, does not compare to the crown of heaven. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Friends, we have a great reward waiting for us if we endure persecution. We have heaven. We have eternity. You can't imagine how beautiful, how awesome, how wonderful heaven is. That's how you stand. You realize this world is not my home. This world is not true riches. This world is not what really matters. It's like what we talked about in our real life series a few weeks back. We need an eternity purpose because this world is not going to last. Someday everything in this world is going to burn up. But heaven remains. So remember that the punishment of hell is worse than any punishment here on earth, and that the reward of heaven is better than any reward on earth. That's how you and I develop an even-if faith. I believe God is able to deliver us. I believe God can do the impossible. But even if he doesn't, I'm going to serve him. That's the faith God wants each of us to have. Let's look at the third fact this morning. The third fact about persecution is there's another in the fire. You're not alone. There is another in the fire. You are not alone. Sometimes when we go through persecution, when we go through hard times, just trials of life, suffering, we feel that God has abandoned us. He's left us. He's walked out on us. Friends, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is always with you. No matter how hot the trial, Jesus is always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Even if you can't see him, he is there. And sometimes in Scripture, God takes the curtain of reality and he pulls it back so we can see the unseen heavenly realities that are taking place. And that's what happens here in Daniel chapter 3, verse 23. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were firmly tied and they fell into the blazing furnace. Now realize, the furnace was seven times hotter than normal. When Nebuchadnezzar heard they're not going to bow, they're not going to bend, he got so enraged, he said, fire it up seven times hotter than normal, and he took his strongest soldiers and had them throw them in, and when they did, the flames were so hot, just the heat, the soldiers that threw them in died. They did not, they couldn't handle the heat. They weren't in the furnace, they were outside and they died. So these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. Doesn't that just sound like what a royal advisor would say? Certainly, your majesty. You know, with all the protocol, respectful, that kind of thing. And he says, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. Those ties that bound them are now broken. They're still not tied up anymore. And they're unharmed. They're not going, ah! I mean, they're not flipping out. They're just walking around fire. That's right. We bad. Uh-huh. And look who's with us. The Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I see a fourth one in there, and he looks like a son of the gods. Now realize, he didn't realize there was one true God. He believed in a lot of them, but he knew who this was. This was Jesus, friends. Jesus was with them in the fire. There was another in the fire. They were not alone, even though that was burning around them. And no matter what happens to you and me, no matter how bad the fire of persecution is, no matter how bad the situation your life is right now, there is another in the fire. Jesus hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He is with you to the ends of the earth. That's his promise. There's a worship song out, a newer worship song, and it's called Another in the Fire, that references this story. It says, there was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Friends, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you. He gave everything for you. He was separated from God the Father so that you and I could have a relationship with God, so that we could experience God's love, experience God's forgiveness, that someday we can go to heaven and spend eternity with God and not spend eternity in hell. Jesus did that because he loves us. Whenever you're doubting God's love, remember the cross. He died for you. And he has promised to always be there, even in the fire. You are not alone. Let's look at the fourth fact this morning that we need to know about persecution. Let's review. What's fact number one? Persecution is promised, not a walk in the park. Number two, God can deliver us from impossible situations. Number three, there's another in the fire. You're not alone. Let's look at number four. Persecution can't stop Pentecost. Persecution cannot stop Pentecost. What I mean by that is it can't stop God from moving in a mighty way. That's what happened in Daniel chapter 3. You see, just because persecution comes, it doesn't mean that God's hands are tied up and he says, you know what? I can't work anymore. I can't heal people. I can't do miracles. People can't be saved. I guess I'm out of luck. You're on your own. You know, I can't do anything. Persecution does not stop the power of God. In verse 27, Daniel 3, the satraps, prefects, governors, those were different levels of government leadership, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor a hair of their heads was singed. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came out of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar says, come out, and they do. Not a hair was singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. I remember one time I was working with my gas grill many years ago, and I couldn't get it to light. The igniter wouldn't light, and so I had to go get a match, and I forgot to turn the gas off, okay? I went out, and I came out, and I actually had one of those lighters, and when I turned it back on, whoosh! And my hair was singed. I mean, from here down, there was no hair on my arm. It was just gone. It was singed. And the little hairs that were, you know, they were kind of that crispy on the end. How many have ever singed your hairs before? Some of you have. You know what I'm talking about? Friends, the hairs on their arms, on their bodies, weren't even singed from a 7-time stoked fire. They didn't even smell smoke. I mean, you can't even roast one marshmallow at a bonfire and not come away smelling like smoke. They didn't smell like smoke. They weren't singed. That's the power of God that we see. But it gets better than that. Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God. This pagan king is now praising God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Listen to this. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut in pieces and their houses turned into a pile of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then he promoted them. Friends, Nebuchadnezzar made a proclamation to his entire kingdom, his entire empire, nations all over. He was the world power at the time. A decree went out, the God of Israel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he can save like no other God can save. God was glorified in this pagan nation. You can't stop the power of God. You can't stop the influence of the gospel. Persecution can't stop what God wants to do. This morning is Pentecost Sunday. It's the Sunday when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church and they preached the gospel. Peter stood up and he preached, and 3,000 people got saved at his very first sermon. Not too bad, huh? 3,000 people. You know what people don't realize? Is that Pentecost happened in the midst of persecution. Pentecost happened in the midst of persecution. 50 days earlier, Jesus had been crucified. And the disciples are hiding. They're cowering in a house in the upper room, hoping they're not discovered. They're afraid they're going to die. When you take a look in Acts chapter 4, Pentecost took place in Acts chapter 2. In Acts 4, Peter and John were arrested in the temple because they healed a crippled beggar. And then they went in and they preached about it and they showed him and they shared the gospel. In Acts chapter 5, it says all of the apostles were put into prison. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned. In Acts chapter 8 and 9, Paul persecuted the church. In Acts chapter 12, James, the brother of John, was killed with a sword, and Peter was imprisoned. He was awaiting execution. Friends, persecution was the story of the early church. They didn't have a cakewalk. They didn't have a walk in the park. They knew because Jesus told them in John 16, which was part of his final words that night before he went to the garden. He said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome this world." He was preparing them, and they took Pentecost. They preached the gospel. They saw people healed. Well, friends, 3,000 were saved in Acts chapter 2. 5,000 were saved in Acts chapter 4. And it says the church was added to daily. The church exploded. And by the time you come to Acts 21, verse 20, it says there were myriads of Jews in Jerusalem who believed. That word myriad means 10,000. And it's plural. So there were tens of thousands of Jews who'd become followers of Jesus Christ. Early church historians think the early church in Jerusalem was a mega church of between 100,000 to 200,000 people. It's incredible. And it happened in the midst of persecution. Persecution does not stop the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Pentecost. If we stand for God, if we proclaim truth, if we proclaim the gospel, if we live for Christ, if we pray for the sick, if we put our faith and say, even if, God, they put us in prison, even if they torture us, even if I lose everything, including my life, God, I will serve you, I will stand, I will not bow. Friends, you don't know what kind of revival God can bring. We don't have to wait until persecution comes to be the church that lives in the power of Pentecost. In fact, we need to work while we have the freedom. This is the time for us to stand up. You have the freedom right now to share the good news with your friends, with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with people in the grocery store, with people at the gas station, people at the gym, people out in the lake. We need to be a people that are praying, saying, God, help us. I love the word that came this morning. God being our good shepherd, he says, I want you to make sheep. Yeah, look at my faithfulness. Friends, God wants you and I to bring people to know him. But part of the prophecy was, he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Even if those enemies are persecutors, someday, remember that word. When you're going through persecution, he's your good shepherd. He provides. He's going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. You don't have any food because they're not letting you buy food because you're a Christian. God, you gave manna and quail to the Israelites, and that was Old Testament. That's Old Covenant. I'm New Covenant, God. Filet mignon and baked potatoes and salad, Lord. We need to be a people that have a faith that says, I am going to stand and serve God no matter what, even if I'm persecuted. Even if. How about you this morning? Will you stand in the face of persecution? That's the question each of us needs to answer. Will you stand in the midst of persecution even if God does not deliver you from it? Pray with me this morning. Father God, we don't know what the future holds, but we know that you hold us and you are always with us. We know we have a home in heaven, a great reward. Give every person here, every person listening online this morning, the strength to endure whatever persecution lies ahead. Friends, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what persecution lies ahead. If America outlaws Christianity, will you stand? I believe that Jesus is coming back in the rapture to take his church to heaven before the tribulation. I believe in a pre-trib rapture. But as I've been studying for this end times class, I can take his scriptures where it looks post-trib and scriptures where it looks mid-trib. And honestly, if we could pinpoint it down, I could write a best-selling book and nobody, you know, you'd make money, but you don't know for sure. I believe in pre-trib, but if we have to go through the persecution or the tribulation, are you willing to stand? God is looking for us to say, even if I have to go through hard times, I will stand for Jesus. And so this morning, I throw this question out to you. Will you stand? Even if you have to go through persecution? Yes, I believe God can deliver me. I believe God will provide. God will protect. But even if he doesn't, I will stand. If you are saying today, God, I'm committing myself to stand and serve you in the midst of persecution, no matter what, even if you don't come through and deliver me here, I'm going to stand and serve you. I want you just to stand to your feet this morning. I want you to, everyone, to close their eyes, because I don't want someone to look and see, well, do they stand? Do they stand? I only want you to stand if you want to stand, not because someone else does, all right? For those of you who are listening online, I encourage you, if you're saying, I'm going to stand, I'm not going to serve this world, I'm going to serve God, just stand wherever you're listening this morning. Some of you here today, maybe you're not standing because you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You haven't given your life to Christ. And as we've been talking about this whole thing, you've been feeling a tugging on your heart. God has been speaking to you. Jesus said, if people deny me, I'll deny them. If you confess me, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. What does it mean to confess Jesus? It means, number one, that you're confessing that you're a sinner. You realize that Jesus died for your sin, and you need to ask him to forgive you of your sin. But then it's also confessing Jesus as your Lord. You realize, God, I need you to forgive me. I need to follow you. I've been doing my own thing, and I'm putting you in charge of my life. You're more important than anything, even escaping persecution. And if you're here this morning and you want to receive Christ, I just encourage you to stand with the rest of us who are standing. Just stand to your feet right now. I'm going to say this prayer, and I'd like all of us, it's a prayer of commitment that we're going to stand for God. Dear Jesus, I commit my life to you. I have done wrong. Forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me from it. Lead my life. I surrender to you. I will follow you, even if it causes discomfort. Even if I have to suffer. Even if I lose everything. Even if it's my life. I will serve you. Empower me with your Spirit. Help me influence others. Use me to reach this city. Bring revival through me. Thank you for being with me in the fire. Amen. Amen. We can rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This morning, I want us to sing a song. It's a song I referenced to earlier. There's Another in the Fire. And as you sing it, make this kind of your closing declaration that you're going to stand and serve God.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.